Hey, a quick note before this podcast starts. This podcast covers 9 different investment properties across Denver, Pueblo, and Colorado Springs. So, lots of numbers and data. And all the numbers are posted on the website. Go view them at denverinvestmentrealestate.com/podcast55. Again, that's podcast, PODCAST, the number 55 for 55. And the link is in the show notes, so you can click over from the podcast as well. And one more thing, I actually put the spreadsheets up in a new format that's a lot more like mobile friendly, so it's much easier to read and view the numbers on your smartphone. So if you actually go look at them on your smartphone, let me know if the new format is helpful or not. I do appreciate the feedback. All right, here's the show. Enjoy.
You're listening to the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, where it's all about helping you grow your Denver real estate portfolio. Here's your host, Chris Lopez.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Chris Lopez, and today we'll be actually doing a really neat webinar. We're actually look at the market trends at Denver, Colorado Springs, and Pueblo. So we'll do a quick couple minutes on each market trend, give you the big ideas to what's going on, and actually go in through a couple of deals for each market so you can compare some numbers. So I've got Charles Roberts with me today. And Charles, as most of you guys know, active investor. He's a realtor. He's a president of Your Castle. So Charles, good morning.
Good morning.
And so the reason we decided to put this webinar and podcast together is because obviously we're very active in the Denver market. We know it. We do a lot of deals up here. But then I think it was like 3 weekends ago or maybe 4 weekends ago at this point, ICOR, an investment club here in Denver, put together a really great property tour. They got a bus, put about 50 people on there. We drove down to Pueblo. We looked at about 8 or 9 properties down there. So really interesting to see that market. And then like a weekend or 2 weekends after that, Charles spent an entire weekend analyzing or searching at analyzing properties in Colorado Springs and actually going out there and then looking at properties the next day. So we've gotten pretty familiar with all the markets, so I want to do our best job to kind of put on our news reporter hat and tell you, here's what's going on with the 3 markets, here are some deals, here are the numbers, and you can figure out what's going to be best for your strategy. So Charles, let's just jump into this. So we are looking at a Pueblo slide on here.
We are. So what I get a lot of is, oh, Charles, Denver is so expensive. Should I move out of the city, out of the state? And the answer is it really depends. As I often say, there's not an absolute answer. But what we want to do is dig deeper into things that we are somewhat familiar with. And so we have Pueblo and we have Colorado Springs and we have Denver. So we thought it would make a lot of sense to go over very, very high level the markets in each, what the markets have been like recently, the real estate markets, compare Pueblo to Colorado Springs to Denver, and then actually pull up some properties that I would consider representative of what I've seen. Now, I definitely know Denver better, but I have done a bunch of deals down in Colorado Springs. And we did take a bus tour of people down to Pueblo, and I had some of my colleagues who are more familiar with the Pueblo market choose the property. So I feel pretty confident that while this isn't all-encompassing, that I'm going to show you a little bit about each of the 3 markets from the data side, and then I'm going to give you examples of listings and what we see for the returns, the cash on cash and the cash flow that were fairly representative. And then I'll tell you what I came up with, that my basic conclusion is at the moment, but most importantly, you take this data and decide what's right for you. So let's jump into key messages for Pueblo homes. So you've probably seen some of this before if you've been to our real estate trends classes over the last dozen years. Well, we now do it for Pueblo and Colorado Springs. So these are 3 key metrics that we look at when we're analyzing a property. The first one here is just the simple average home price. So this right here would be the second quarter of 18 versus the second quarter of 17. So year over year, the price went up 9%. Previous quarters, and then you see even going back a year ago, it was up 8%. So what I get a lot of was, maybe Pueblo makes sense because it's kind of a depressed market and no one's thinking down there. Yes, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, that actually would have made sense. What we're seeing right now, as you can see, are strong price increases. That is really important for those of us who don't work the Pueblo market every day to understand that what we've seen happened from Denver to Colorado Springs where the Denver market has pushed into Colorado Springs several years ago and started to really pick up that market. What we're seeing, I believe, is the exact same dynamic, Colorado Springs pushing into Pueblo. And the result is big price increases recently. That was a bit of a surprise to me, who hasn't really researched Pueblo too much, but there we've got it. Prices are on the rise.
Now, let me ask you, because, I mean, we were, you know, riding down the bus together and just speculating what we're going to see that day. What were you expecting in terms of, like, the market numbers?
For the cap rates or for Pueblo as a city?
Both.
Well, I already knew, because we've been doing this for a while, last couple of quarters, what Pueblo, that the market had definitely picked up. When we get into the actual cap rates and cash on cash, I'll show you that. But to be honest, I was expecting them to be better than they were. There is one reason for that, is that we didn't go into the lowest end section of Pueblo, which is East Pueblo, where there are properties in the, you know, five figures, 50,000, 80,000, which had higher cap rates. But because we're bringing a tour, literally a tour bus of 50 people, my colleague Darlene just chose not to take us into those neighborhoods. But I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay, I jumped the gun there.
Yep, no problem. So what we see is lots of price increases. The number sold went up, but look at this, what just happened in the last quarter. Now, one quarter does not a trend make, but if it's anything like what we saw in Denver and then what we saw in Colorado Springs, what we have seen is more demand than supply, because the existing homeowners start to say, well, I'm not going to sell my place because where am I going to move to? And a lot of the investors, like me, I'm very typical of this, who say, I don't want to sell my places. I'm making so much money on my investments. So we'll watch this over the next couple of quarters, but that is a big difference right there. Might be an anomaly, might not. We'll check on that. And then just as importantly, months of inventory. So those of you who are familiar with real estate know a 4 to 6 months of inventory is considered roughly a balanced market. This months of inventory is not a balanced market. So all in, what you're seeing here is that Pueblo is looking like a very, very strong market with price increases. And that was a bit of a surprise to me and everybody that I've shared this with. Another thing we like to do, of course, is look at price bands over time. And what you see in 1985, the average price in Pueblo was maybe 65,000, 70,000, went up for years and years and years. So 19, look at that. That is 20 years of price rises. Got hit with the downturn and it went down quite a bit. It went from, oh, I don't know what that is, maybe 170 or so down to about 150, and then turned around along the bottom for about 3 years, 2014 or so. All of a sudden, I don't know, somebody woke up one morning and boom, the prices have gone
up.
Yeah, it's a big, big, big price. So that's easy math, is it's up over 30% since 2014. So if one had been brave enough to be buying a bunch of rentals here, you probably would have made a lot of money. But once again, exactly what I showed you on the previous slide, prices are up and really, really pushing upwards. So that's a quick Pueblo. Let's do the same thing for Colorado Springs.
So Pueblo, I'm just going to keep a note. So Pueblo started going up in about, was that 2014, 2015?
Yeah. Whatever that is right in there, right around 2014. Yeah.
I want to compare it to these next Colorado Springs.
So I'll do the same thing for Colorado Springs really quick. Once again, big price increases, and it's going up for a while. Denver's pushed down to Colorado Springs, really, really pushed that market. Months of inventory, it was 1.9 for Pueblo. It's 1.6 for Colorado Springs. So if you think you're going down to Colorado Springs and you're going to, you know, push your weight around and get great deals, and I tell you, it's a strong market. That's not what's happening in Colorado Springs. And I'm going to tell you about a tour I took with a client about a week and a half ago down there. Very strong market, big price increases, very little inventory. The number sold, though, that is different. Denver's number sold has been flat to almost going down because people haven't put their properties on the market. But so far, people are still putting their properties on the market and the number sold is continuing to go up. And then inventory, very low. So once again, both of these markets are very strong. Let's compare these now to Denver. Well, I'm sorry, Colorado Springs, going back to 1979, this is a slightly different version of the number because we can't actually get the data from PPAR, their MLS, but this is what the Federal Reserve says the average prices have been. Went up, got nailed right here in the mid-80s, went up for a long time. This should look a lot like Denver, by the way. Peaked around 2006, 2007, went down overall. This here came back in 2012, and the prices have gone up. Pretty familiar stuff.
Again, I don't know those markets like you do, but I mean, the Pueblo numbers for average cost and the Colorado Springs average cost are actually not too far off. I mean, it peaked, what, like 170 at Pueblo before the crash? Colorado Springs was like 200?
Yep. And then look at this. Yeah, just actually quite similar. Yeah, that's a really good point.
I just always assumed Colorado Springs is more expensive. That was just my assumption based on no data.
I think you and everybody else that doesn't study these numbers feels the same way. Yeah, Puebla has a reputation of a lower end place. It's certainly worth looking at. And like I said, I'm going to show you some properties we actually toured when we got there.
So Colorado Springs started creeping up like 2012, right? 2011, yeah. 2012. So about 2 years before Pueblo.
Right. And once again, that makes some sense in that as Colorado Springs got expensive, maybe it pushed into Pueblo. Like, I could be making that up, but it's kind of what we saw in Denver, Colorado Springs. So I'm going with that myth. Let's say it happened.
The logic works for me.
Works for me too.
I'll accept it. And if anyone has questions out there, ask them. We are monitoring the questions while we're going through this data. So please ask.
Okay. And then finishing off with Denver, I'm sure most of you have heard about Denver and understand what the numbers are. And I'm just going to tell you the same thing. Prices have been going up for a while, incredibly low inventory. But takeaway from this is how similar the inventory is in Pueblo, 1.9 months. Colorado Springs, 1.6, and Denver, 1.5. You cannot make up numbers that close. It is so interesting. I wouldn't have guessed this before I had started doing the research. Showings per active listing, lots of buyers, not a lot of sellers, under contracts, staying pretty flat. This is one of the things I talked about. Unlike Colorado Springs, which is showing an increase in the number of sales, what we have seen for a number of years here in Denver is number of sales not increasing because there's a very low inventory. There's just not much to choose from. And then once again, here are the raw numbers. The inventory is near record lows.
Yeah.
Great. So
we've been through this numbers before, so let's move forward. And
okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play on my desktop a lot because I'm going to be showing you lots of different things. So we're going to start with Pueblo, and then 700 Wilson Ave is the first one we looked at. And I'm just going to go through this pretty quick, okay? But just to give you an idea, and so you can see it.
Can you zoom in a little more?
Yep. Hold on 1 second. That look okay?
Yep. And as we're going through this, guys, let us know if we need to zoom in more to help us figure out a routine on here, because we got a lot of PDFs and Excels to go through. So it looks good, Charles.
So this was a lot of fun. We pulled up to this house, and the gentleman on this place right here looked like a house. It was actually like an ammunition supply store. Guy comes out, and he is toting some serious weaponry. And he is a nice guy. Like, literally, he comes out, and I'm standing right about here. People are going into the house, and I'm like, hi, can I help you? He says, no, I just want to see what you guys were doing. And we ended up talking for half an hour, and he owns this shop right here, which is a gun shop. And let me tell you, I felt pretty safe because this guy was fully armed. Welcome to Pueblo. So we looked at this property. They were asking $219,000. It's a duplex. It was an older property, and that's a lot of what you see in Pueblo. And what we don't
older,
see...
Older, what year was it built?
Yeah, good question. So I don't know their listing as well as I. It's in here someplace.
Oh, year built 1900.
Yeah, you get used to these things. Thank you very much. Yeah. So that's one of my takeaways from Pueblo is we couldn't find any newer houses and we didn't see any attached. There's not a lot of attached there. Good or bad, it's totally up to you. Some people say they were built better in 1900. I don't know. I would say they probably have some pretty old systems unless they've been updated. But duplex for 219,000. How many are on the MLS in Denver right now, duplexes for 219,000?
Zero.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't even buy half a duplex for that, really. And so it's actually originally listed at 239, this property, then dropped to 219, so a $20,000 price drop.
With 46 days on market. I'm going to show you a spreadsheet on all of this, but you can see that it was kind of weird, but you had a three-bedroom at 617 square feet, which was odd, but it was. So obviously this had been broken up. You know, this was not originally like this in 1900. Here were the rents they were being used.
So let's read those because it's hard to see. So we got, so basically this was the up-down duplex, right? If I remember correctly.
Updated duplex with strong rental income, zone B2, possible commercial use, excellent corner location, you know, next to a firearm shop. What else can you ask for? So it was interesting. We looked at it. Now, what I'm going to do for each of these, and I'm going to do this real fast, is now go into the spreadsheet. And I'm assuming most of you have seen our spreadsheets before. I'm just going to jump down to cap rate. 8.4 cap and a cash on cash of 13%. How do you feel about an 8.4 cap, Chris?
I like an 8.4 cap.
Right, exactly.
We don't see those too often in Denver.
We really
anymore.
Don't. I got one under contract yesterday that was a 7.7 cap. Real happy with it, but a newer attached property. So this one had a decent, really pretty good 8.4 cap. Pros were an 8.4 cap. Cons were kind of an older property, split up into a really weird duplex, and you know, it's been on the market for a while and it hasn't sold. Should you buy it or not? I don't know. The whole point is we were going to look at properties And it is something to say that we don't get a lot of 8-4 caps, believe me, in Colorado Springs or Denver anymore. And this one was
especially an 8-4 cap for a duplex.
Exactly. Yeah.
So one thing I remember this property. I was on the tour too. This was not one of my, you know, if I were buying a property that day, this was not in the top three that I recall. But Charles, can you flip back to the first tab on the spreadsheet? Let's just run through the numbers for like rental income, sure, property taxes, just to give people a feel for what, because there's a 3-1 and a 3-2 unit, right?
Yeah, I think so. I can go back to it.
Yeah, zoom in on there a little more if you can.
Sure.
And so I think, what were the rents there?
So what we had here was rents of $1,250 and $900.
Okay, so that's what so 3-2 for $1,250, 3-1 for $900.
Yeah. And then taxes were $711. We put property insurance about $1,200, repairs and maintenance. I put a little bit higher, and that might be conservative, but again, we're just sort of wild guessing, rough numbers, water and sewer. The gentleman with the big gun said that was about right. So, you know, we felt pretty good about these numbers.
Okay, perfect.
And it comes out to an 8+ cap. Like, interesting. You know, I'm not running down to buy it, but maybe you should or someone else should. It's good to know. This was pretty representative of what we saw.
Great.
Okay, let me start now with this one on Orman. So this right here was a 4-bedroom, 2-bath home with a large garage in back. They were asking $150,000 for it. Let's see what else is relevant here.
Now, let's see, it was built in 1942. And this, I remember, I think it was too, like this has been the market for a while and actually had a price drop, right? If it was this house, I don't know how you can read your Word documents like that, Charles, right? Well, and other people out there on the webinar reading this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck.
This is why I make the big money.
Because you got encryption here.
This is actually how I got it from Darlene. Like, she just sent it to me. So this is what I got. So this is a single family house. Again, 1148 square feet. You know, it looked okay. Fine.
I think it had been remodeled, right? This was the one that was remodeled.
Well, let's actually check down here. Great Rancher, which I assume means a ranch house, with lots of potential. So that usually means new, and character, which usually means new, boasting built-in china hutch, walk-in closet. You know, it had some what we call good bones, right? But no, probably needed some work.
Okay, I'm thinking of a different property then.
And then it did say this was tenanted, and they're willing to stay, and they pay $850, but we put what we thought was a pro forma rent. So let me get to that now. So your basic house. Let's look at the spreadsheet with what our calculation of rents were. Okay, so purchase price of $115,000. We put in $1,000, and that's what we figured. $850 if you wanted the current, but we figured a pro forma rent was more like, you know, fix it up a little bit, paint maybe, and more like $1,000.
So a couple grand to repair it.
Yep, that's what I put in here. You know, just an estimate of $1,000. And then we come down here, taxes are nice and low, property insurance for a single unit, repairs and maintenance.
So taxes on that's $547.
Correct, yep. Yep, property insurance of $900, repairs and maintenance of $800, pretty standard numbers. And then we pop over, and this one was a 6-cap. And what I want to make sure you understand is we spent a lot of time looking for properties that we felt would be representative of Pueblo. We took a tour. We had 50 people join us. We wanted to teach them the market. We wanted to show them what we considered were properties that could make sense for them. But boy, this one had a 6-cap with a 4% cash on cash. I mean, you know, we didn't jump up and down for this one, and no one put an offer in on this one. And it's important that I say this to everybody I talk to. Like, I'm not trying to sell this property. Quite the opposite. I want you to see that we saw this property and we were kind of horrified. Got to go to Pueblo to get a 6-cap? I don't think so. We'll sell 30+ properties in 2018, much nicer, much newer, and all of them above a 6-cap. So that was the takeaway on this one. I'm going to do 2 more in Pueblo because I want you to get better feel for it.
And if anyone out there who's listening live or watching live, I should say, if anyone out there is investing in Pueblo or Colorado Springs, we can talk about that in 10 minutes. Hey, feel free to chime in there with your numbers, what you're seeing. Like, the more we share, the more we learn, the better it is for us and all the other people listening and watching as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that. So this was on North Main Street in Pueblo, $149,000, 3 bedrooms with a big 3-car garage, which is certainly helpful.
And this was a detached single family, right?
Yep. Detached single family. That's the picture right there. Built in 1915. So again, that might be a positive for you. Honestly, for me, it's not a positive. I've owned a lot of older homes. They tend to be leaning one way or the other. They usually have, you know, rat infested wiring. I mean, unless they've been updated, I would consider that something you have to be very careful of. So 1915. But, you know, nice looking from the outside. These neighborhoods, by the way, the streets were, I don't know, how would you describe the streets that we, I'm not even sure what you're going to say. How would you describe these?
You mean the streets?
Well, the neighborhoods.
I mean, for this specific property, Cameron, which
well,
property
but,
for
but
that?
They were all kind of the same. The yeah. truth is we didn't go into East Pueblo.
I mean, so for full disclosure, this is the first time I've ever been to Pueblo. And so, you know, my expectations of Pueblo are what I've heard everyone talk about Pueblo, which is usually not the nicest things. So my expectations were very different from what I actually saw. And I think it's because we actually saw, as Darlene, our realtor and tour guide told us, we actually saw the nicer side of Pueblo. The streets were actually a lot nicer and the neighbors were a lot nicer than I expected, based off what I heard other people talk about for last.
And that's a really good point, expectations versus reality. I think it is completely fair to call them blue-collar, working-class neighborhoods that were fine. No problem. I mean, I've owned properties in Denver and neighborhoods way worse than this. So I'm a guy who loves kind of low-end neighborhoods because I make tons of money there. I was totally fine with the neighborhoods based on what I saw, you know, and the number of people carrying big machine guns as my neighbors. The public remarks, 3-bedroom, 1-bath, huge corner lot, tons of space, mechanic's dream. What does that mean to you?
Either has a giant garage to work on your cars or it needs some work.
Yeah, exactly. In this case, it was, you know, had a nice garage.
Yeah, this was a huge garage, wasn't it?
And that was pretty cool. All right, so you got this property here. Let me pop in and I will show you the spreadsheet. $149,000 was the asking price. We put a couple thousand for repair stuff. We put the rent of $1,200. Once again, we went to Rentometer. You know, Darlene knows that market much better. We got what we think were fairly accurate rents. Taxes of $957, property insurance of $1,200. $1,000 for repairs and maintenance. Raise it a little bit because it's an older property. And our cash flow on this one was a 7. That is just about the average cash flow of the 30 or so properties we'll sell this year in Denver.
You mean the cap rate?
I apologize. Well, I don't even know what I just said. I meant cap rate. Yeah. Well, the cash on cash by coincidence is 7 too.
Okay.
Yeah. So by weird coincidence, both the cash on cash and the cap rate are 7. So you hear a 7 cap. What do you think, Chris?
I mean, that's about the par for the course here in Denver for what we're seeing. And that's good.
Yeah. So we said, okay. I mean, this, you know, like personally as an investor, it didn't make me want to jump to Pueblo to get a 7 cap when I can get a 7 cap in Denver.
Yes.
But for another person, it might. It was decent, an older home. You'd have to be careful of that. But at a $1,200 monthly rent, 7 cap, fairly solid, 15% after-tax internal rate return, pretty good.
So Sam, one of the guests watching this webinar live with us, says his most recent purchase in Pueblo is about a 9.2 cap.
Awesome.
So I asked Sam to share the numbers, and I'm going to make sure I got this. This wasn't the typo, Sam. So your purchase price was $8,000, like 8,000. Your rehab was $70,000, wow. And your rent's about $750. Okay, so $8,000 is correct. So
yeah,
sounds like you basically rebuilt the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you could actually type in more notes, this would be very interesting to hear the details. So it was a house fire, and Sam loves huge rehabs.
Well, he actually said the house was on fire. Like you bought it while it was on fire? I mean, wow. What a great story.
That's a true fire sale, huh?
Yeah, that's very funny. So, you know, that's awesome. I mean, good for you. I actually have a colleague at your castle, Terry Wenz, who has literally focused on homes that have been through fires. And that is a great specialty.
Yeah, well, if you're able to, I'd be really curious, Sam, if you can send them over some pictures or more numbers on that, it'd be really interesting to share. Because that's cool. Yeah, I'll type in my email address, Sam.
And look, you know, what Sam did is what an investor can do. They can do the work, find the property, take the risk, and get the fantastic return. And good for you. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. That was right for you. I wouldn't want to do that, but you did. And by taking that risk and putting the time and effort in, you got a great cash flow property.
All right, so we are looking at our last property now, right, Charles? In Pueblo, I should say.
And just so you know, I'm doing 4 in Pueblo because I think most of the people on this will be less familiar with Pueblo. I'm going to do 3 in Colorado Springs and then 2 in Denver. All right, so one more. This is Grand Ave. They were asking $133. You can see this, you know, nice look, little house here. It was built in 1921, so an older property. And we move down here. I think this was a 3-bedroom. Well, it has lots of bedrooms, but I think a couple of them were in the basement. So it was a 3-bedroom up. But it was remodeled, freshly remodeled in the desirable North Side avenues. Basement was unfinished, but does have a small third bedroom finished out. So this was a two bedroom with a unfinished basement. So, you know, illegal, didn't have an egress window, but it's a home. $3,500 later, you have a legal bedroom down there. And it was kind of a nice looking little home right there. I'd say this is quite typical of what we took a look at in Pueblo. And we'll look at the last spreadsheet in Pueblo, looking at this property right here. And what you see is...
So purchase price of $133,000, no repair cost, rents of $1,000.
Yeah, which we came up with $1,000. It's a legal two-bedroom, but it had a basement, so we put in $1,000. We thought that was fair. And what we came out to was a 6.7 cap rate with a 6% cash on cash.
Yeah, so I mean, so my reaction, since we're kind of wrapping up the Pueblo tour here, was I was expecting higher cap rates. I was expecting not as nice areas, and it sounded like there definitely were those areas that I've heard people talk about. But what I did like about Pueblo is, hey, it's just, you know, it's a cheaper entry point, which is always nice, saving up for down payment. But I thought a lot about this on the next day when I got home, was, hey, if I'm going to 6.77 cap rate, I must stay in Denver, even if it means I have to save longer to buy a house just because I can drive 20 to 30 minutes versus driving 2 hours. And I also have a network up here in Denver, or Pueblo, I don't. So that was kind of my very quick reaction from Pueblo.
Because if you remember, I was joking with you on the way down. I was talking about, like, maybe I would, if I loved Pueblo, I would come down once a week in my RV and spend the night in the RV and have people come down and drive me around. And we'd look at this properties. Spending one day in Pueblo, not an expert, but understanding the numbers, my takeaway was I was not overly excited by Pueblo. I haven't seen East Pueblo, and that is where there is more cash flow, and I understand that and recognize that. But I mean, I guess coincidentally or not, I pretty much had the same reaction you did, that these weren't 10 or 12 caps really drawing me down there to spend more time. They were some 6, 7, some 8 caps. And but in older homes in, you know, okay neighborhoods, but it didn't overly excite me. But I say that with respect and understanding that I do want to learn more about the Pueblo market.
Couple notes here that were coming in. So Chris, a different Chris, not me, chimed in that I think it was the address 2415 North Grand we're just looking at. The price just dropped to 125.
Oh, thank you for that. And that, how interesting that they couldn't sell it. Was that the one that was at 133?
I think that was one we were just looking at.
Okay, so that was 133, if I remember. So yeah, price drop. So now...
And $1,000 is fair rent on that, he says.
Awesome, dude. Thank you. That's really helpful. I appreciate local knowledge, and I'm glad we got that right. So I'm going to guess that's a 6.9, maybe a 7 cap. And once again, back to the 7 cap. Okay, that's fine, but I'm not jumping up and down. I'm not taking my business, you know, down there so far yet. And what we're seeing is the prices are going up. And if the rents keep up, then the caps will stay the same. But if the rents don't keep up, the cap rates will drop.
All right, so if you guys have more questions about Pueblo, please type those in. We will be circling back around. If you guys have questions out there or want to get some referrals for realtors down there, reach out to us. We'll do our best to hook you up with some people down there that are a lot more knowledgeable of the Pueblo market as well. So Charles, the next thing we're looking at is Colorado Springs now, right?
Yeah, I've done a bunch of deals down there last couple of years, and it's been exactly what we talked about. My Denver folks getting priced out of Denver, and we went down to Colorado Springs. We bought some duplexes. We bought some townhomes. It's been great. So I went with a client of mine who bought one, kind of ours, 3 or 4 months ago here in Denver. She wanted to check out Colorado Springs. I spent a good part of the Saturday before the Monday that we went down really, really trying to find like properties, because she had no particular specifics, duplexes, fourplexes, condos, townhomes, houses, just whatever. She just want, you know, a decent return.
So basically anything that was residential, 4 units or less?
Basically, yeah. I mean, and she would have gone above 4. I mean, so I spent the time and we looked at what I thought were the best cash flow properties that I, as an investor, would like. So, you know, wasn't built in the 14th century, wasn't right on I-25, like just had all the combinations of things I like. And let me show you what we saw. I'll show you three. This one right here, Queen Anne Way, they were asking $184.5. It was really cute outside. It was just adorable. And the HOAs were actually, you know, pretty low.
So this was an attached property then?
Attached property.
So and what was the HOA?
$198.
So about $200.
Yeah. All those numbers were decent. Huge, $1,682. I mean, everything about this we liked.
Built in 1983. So that's, I mean, that's relatively new.
Yeah. It was all definitely good. Welcome to this two-story townhome with a finished basement. Now, what you're going to see in the notes, though, is that over and over again, we saw basements, but we didn't see egress windows. So to the extent you are a buyer and landlord who is okay having a third or fourth bedroom in the basement that is an illegal basement, technically, because it has no egress window, that is something you should think about. I have personally always been very, very conservative about that. God forbid someone dies. I think you're going to be in big trouble. And I've always put in egress windows in my homes and duplexes. But that was a big differentiator, is that the ones we saw, we couldn't find any legal third bedrooms in the basement. So this is a legal two bedroom and an illegal three bedroom.
So you're saying of all the properties you saw, no basement bedroom to egress one? Was that just kind of like luck of the draw, or is that just a trend down there?
I got to assume it's luck of the draw.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is we weren't comfortable with that as investors. But I want to be honest and say that they did have third bedrooms in the basements, and a lot of investors would be totally fine with that. And I'm really not judging. I'm just telling you, as an investor, that's a decision that you need to make. So good-looking property, really large. Let's now take a look at these numbers, pull up the spreadsheet.
And of course, while Charles is pulling that up, if anyone out there watching the webinar is actively investing in Colorado Springs, chime in with recent numbers, recent deals, what you're seeing on the ground. We really appreciate that feedback.
So 184.5, we came in with a $1,500 rent. And I think what we did is we assumed that this was a legal three bedroom. So this is where you have to figure out. My client didn't want it because she didn't want an illegal three bedroom. Another person would buy this and would have no trouble renting it as a third bedroom. So we wanted to be fair and say, okay, if you bought it and were okay with the non-egress third bedroom, this is what we thought was market rent. Do you see that distinction?
Yes.
But it wasn't right for this client because she doesn't want illegal basement bedrooms. Put in the numbers.
So taxes are $617, $300 for property insurance, then typical 5% for maintenance.
Yep. And this came out to a 7 cap. Just back to that 7. But again, you listening as an agent or an investor have to say, are you okay with a downstairs bedroom with no egress window? If you are, this was a 7 cap. We weren't. Maybe at a 10 cap, we would have thought about it, a 9 cap. But at a 7, it's like, okay. It's a decent property, nice and large. I mean, really cute, good shape. It was a 7 cap.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard you use the word cute to describe a property, Charles.
Well, the next one's going to be lovely. So okay. The first one was cute, the next one was lovely.
So out of curiosity, what would this cute property go for in two-bedroom rent versus three-bedroom?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm going to guess probably about $1,100, something like that. And we actually, we bumped the rent up a little bit because it was just really nice outside.
Okay.
But yeah, something like that. A solid 7 cap. But for those of you from Denver who are thinking, I'm just going to go to Colorado Springs and get better cash flow, well, you're going to see what we saw. And I'm going to tell you the end of the story when I get to it. But Pueblo, Colorado Springs, it's not like there's 12 caps right around the corner. That's going to be part of the takeaway that I got from this for sure. So let's go to this property. This was another good looking property from the outside, like really nice looking.
Is that a...
It's a townhome.
Townhome, okay.
They were asking $199, been on the market 22 days, low taxes at $644. Going down here.
Built in 69.
Correct.
What's the HOA? Sorry, it's taking us a while to find stuff. Every Pueblo and Colorado Springs have different MLS printout sheets, so we don't know quite where they are. All the data fields.
Right, it's $260 a month. Decent, not a problem with that. Beautiful three bedroom, two and a half bath, end unit townhome. But again, the basement was not illegal. So it's you call it what you will. There's a third bedroom in the basement. And we still went ahead and, you know, said, okay, what would this actually rent for, even though it had no egress window? And again, like nice looking. This was a really good looking place. Real nice community. You come into some spreadsheet stuff. And what we saw was we put it in for $1,550 a month. We felt really solid with that rent.
And this was a legal three-bedroom, though?
No, not a legal three-bedroom.
It was not legal?
The latter, not legal.
Okay.
Basement bedroom did not have an egress window. But if I owned it, I could rent it, and tenants kind of don't care. That's the bottom line. They won't really pay more for illegal. That's the point, the distinction I'm making here. We felt $1,550 was a solid rent for this. Came out at a 6.4 cap.
Surprising me. Because I've actually not seen these numbers. As Charles is going through Colorado Springs, I've not seen these numbers. So I'm kind of processing this. And yeah, just my, I want to say logic, just my thinking would have put, hey, Colorado Springs, it's farther away, cheaper price point, it's going to be slightly better numbers.
Yeah, that's not what we
found. The first two does not look like that.
And again, these weren't random. I spent a lot of a Saturday trying to find great, I couldn't find any multi-units.
Yeah, you spent like 4 hours Saturday.
I really
hunting,
did.
Right?
I was like calling you saying, hey, this is so interesting and I got to get a life because this is what I'm doing on a Saturday. Okay, so this one right here on Marlowe, this was a single family. Let's see, they were asking 210, and I think this was the four bedroom. Yeah, it was four bedrooms. It was a ranch, but I'm, if I remember correctly, it the basement bedrooms, I think they had egress windows. I'm trying to remember now. No, one had an egress window and one didn't. So add about $3,000 to make this a legal four bedroom, two bath. Big property, nice neighborhood, large front yard with a, here's where I got it, cute cottage style house, open concept. It had been fixed up. It was ready to go. I could rent it in a heartbeat. It showed real nice. And we get to the numbers on it now. And what you see is they were asking $210 for it. We came in and rent to $1,600. We looked at this really closely.
For a four bedroom?
Yeah. We couldn't find anything that suggested it was higher. I know you said exactly what I said, but that was the problem, is the rents are pretty muted down there. And if, you know, if we have the Sam of Colorado Springs who wants to chime in because he knows it better than we do, but we did the Zillow, the Craigslist, the Rentometer. I was surprised.
Okay.
That's what we found, and that's what we did our analysis on. And it came out to a 7.6 because there's no HOA. Decent. Not bad. You know, mid sevens cap for a single family that looked pretty nice. Like, okay, that could make sense. Not making me jump out of my socks, but she chose not to get this one, but it was okay. It was pretty okay for what looked like a rehab property.
Now, what's interesting to me is in Denver, I mean, I don't say you never, but it's as close to never as possible. You never see single family homes having better cap rates than attached properties.
That's a little strange.
Was this a trend or just the properties you saw, this was just the way it happened
to be? It's the way it happened. So I don't know enough. You know, I've seen literally over 10,000 properties in Denver, so I can tell you more of the trends here in Denver, but it's what I saw. That's exactly right. And back 5-8 years ago, we were buying single family homes for 7.5 to 8.5 caps. Now it's very difficult to buy single families in anything above like the 6.4 cap. And that's why we've been buying the last few years, mostly attached properties. So it did appear to be a little bit different, but you know, this was a decent property. I think this would have made a decent rental for someone who wanted to own in Colorado Springs.
So we got a question here, Chris and Charles, do you add CapEx to your analysis? Let's pull up the spreadsheet real fast and kind of go real quickly just through the items we're putting in there, just so you can see that we are trying to compare apples to apples to apples across the three markets, because this is a good question.
Yeah, it's a great question. So do we add the capital expenses to our expenses on the spreadsheet? And the answer is yes. Now, you use whatever spreadsheet you want and do whatever you want, but here's how we interpret it. Here are the annual operating expenses, $418 for taxes, super low taxes. And I have to say that that is a bit of a red flag, because for a $200,000 property, that's 0.25%. I got to believe that'll go up someday, you know, like, and I believe that's going to hurt your cap. That's just wicked low. But, you know, that's what it is today. We put $1,000 for property insurance. And to answer your question, yes, right here we have $800 for repairs and maintenance, which we sort of put it all together. So you might say, well, no, I want to have a separate thing for capital expenses. Well, great. Then just put it down here and put capital expenses.
And just real quickly, Charles, what's the difference between repairs and maintenance and capital expenses?
You know, I'm not a CPA, but one would be written off on a yearly basis and capital expenses would have to be written off, amortized over time. As from our perspective, as like little landlords and little investors, I just put a number and say, how much do I need to put away every year to be able to deal with expenses that come up? And what we have found is that it's very difficult to calculate. It's always different year over year. For a condo and townhome, I would tend to put a lower number than a single family house. But for a fully remodeled single family house, that would be less than a 1912 rec. You know, at the end of the day, I put an 800 here. In 5 years, you can come back and see how right or wrong that was.
And I think for all these, I know the spreadsheet defaults to taking 5% of the rent and making that in the repairs and maintenance. Did you just let the spreadsheet default to the 5% for these
No,
properties?
I actually don't think it defaults. I think you actually type it in.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think it doesn't. So regardless, I usually put something like that number. What we say here is that we recommend a minimum, but I don't actually think it defaults to it.
I'm going to bet you a cup of coffee.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the fun we have. We debate spreadsheets. Yeah,
that was really fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Colorado Springs. Let me ask you, compare Pueblo to Colorado Springs with what little you know from the last 41 minutes. Where would you buy if you had to buy one or the other?
I mean, out of those seven properties we saw, it would be Colorado Springs out of that.
Interesting. Yeah. I kind of feel the same way. You know, we're just scratching the surface, but I kind of feel the same
way. And that's just me. Like I said, I've never seen those properties in Colorado Springs. And that's just me going off the numbers and the little bit I know about the market down there. Now, while you're pulling up Denver, Charles, I know from our Pueblo property tour, at least one property you looked at was put, had an offer put in.
Yeah, 12 unit.
Yeah. Are we able to talk about those numbers or is that not relevant? I know the things are, because, you know, things are still under contract.
Yeah. So probably not, but okay. It did. I mean, it's going to close and the numbers were really great on a 12 unit. It was a very specific sort of things. But what I found was of the 50 or so people that were there, the most experienced investors, all of us said, whoa, this one makes a lot of sense.
And what was the, remember what the cap rate was on the 12
unit? Well, it's weird because it had this very strange situation where all 12 units were Section 8, but they were under this different program where something like if you have a vacancy, Section 8 pays you 80% of the vacant unit. And if you have repairs, believe it or not, your tax dollars are paying the landlord 80%. It had like a 6.5 cap, but it was this incredibly easy sort of government-sponsored situation. And what we found was if the new owner ever wants to actually remove those 12 tenants and then put it back to market rents, it was more like an 8.5 cap.
So I think the rents were about $650 per unit and then market rents were around $800.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so it was just an interesting opportunity and we did get it under contract.
Yeah. And that was just, I mean, I know you left it out because it was such a very unique situation, but it's still very, you know, very interesting.
It was a good deal.
Yeah. Sorry, I know I kind of tease you guys here. We can't really talk the details, but maybe in a future one we can...
Yeah, and give us a call. We can talk more about it offline. Okay, so now I'm going to look at a couple of properties that we actually have... I think we closed this one last week in Denver. So these are actual deals that just closed. I think the next one is about to close or something like that. But quite typical of what we're doing here in Denver. So once again, I just want to compare typical to typical. This one that was asking $225. I think we ended up getting like $227 for something like that. Good looking Loyola. One of the interesting things is it has a basement that amazingly has two egress windows. So we sold a property on Loyola last year where the client made two legal basement bedrooms. So I'm not sure what this client is going to do, actually. It's currently a 3-2. It could be up to a 4-3. And you look at it here. I mean, it's just in really nice shape. New paint, carpet, fixtures, flooring. Like, this is nice. And we love this HOA. For some crazy reason, it's a 175 HOA. And our client that bought 12 months ago, he says, no, the HOA is great. You know, I talked to him before we looked at this. He said, yeah, we're very happy with the HOA, very happy with that purchase. So again, this is one that is fairly typical of what we do here in Denver. And we just closed on it. Jump into the spreadsheets. And what I'm going to show you are the numbers now on the spreadsheets. Yeah, we paid $227 for it. There was no repair costs because as it is, it's rentable. He may want to add a fourth bedroom. He may want to add the third bath. But today it's rentable like this. I put in $1,800 for rent for a 3-2. I feel that that's the floor. You know, my three bedrooms are all getting that or more. And this is quite a nice neighborhood. We come down here, go back to the repairs and maintenance, capital expenditures. I have $800. That's a guess.
So real estate taxes, $818, insurance, $300, repairs and maintenance, $800, HOA for the year is $21.
Correct. And now we come over and look at the spreadsheet here. Let me make this a little bit bigger. I don't know why I just did that. And what we saw here was this was a 7.3 cap rate of 7.3%, and a cash on cash of 9%. So now let's start analyzing it. Based on what you've seen, and it's just a little snippet of information, but how are you feeling about Pueblo, Colorado Springs, and Denver?
It'd be still sticking in Denver just because, I mean, 7.3s, I mean, similar cap rate to other three markets. I know Denver. I also happen to know that's complex, so I'm obviously biased towards it because I like the complex. I think it's a good unit or a good property. But yeah, like I just would have expected Denver to be lowest cap rates, Colorado Springs to be the middle child, and Pueblo to be the highest cap rates.
And me too. And this is why we love what we do so much, is we just get to learn constantly. And it's, I don't know if it's good news or bad news for people who are listening, but what I'm seeing is, well, I don't feel like I'm missing anything huge in Colorado Springs and Pueblo. We've closed on a fourplex in Grand Junction last year, and that was a good deal. We're going to do some more tours. We're going to, I think, go down to Colorado Springs and maybe Fort Morgan. But looking at these numbers, and the reason I wanted to do it this way was, I don't know, 7.3 cap for a nice property with a low HOA that we already know. I felt real good about this. And then let me show you one more. And this one we just closed on. And this is in the First Creek neighborhood where I own three properties. And this was my 20th closing there in 3.5 years. So I know lots and lots about First Creek. Prices have gone up a lot. The three I bought were the same units I bought. I paid, this was 3.5 years ago. I paid $170 for each of them. Just weirdly, coincidentally, I bought three in 3 months, three different sellers, and they were all 170 to 171. So prices certainly have gone up a lot. It was about, I think about 250 is what we got this for. Three bedroom, three bath, 1271 square feet. You know, Green Valley Ranch out by the airport. Nothing fantastically special, but nice. I mean, good places. They won a lawsuit from KB Homes a few years ago, so they have about $10 million of repairs they're doing over a couple of years. Their HOA has a ton of money. Very, very, very happy with this HOA. And we bought another one there. $207 per month, and then wonderful rental or investment opportunity, three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath condo. They're nice. They're real good.
And they're, I mean, what, they were built this...
2006 to 2010, yeah. And then I'll look at the last one here for you. Let's look at the numbers. $250,000, nothing to do. 1888 rent. This is right now, is end of August 2018. I put my tenant in one of my places, had turnover last month, and I got 1888. So that's what we're using for the rent comp. It's about as good as I can do. Identical property from Denver Housing Authority, Section 8. I got 1888. And my client has told me he's had huge demand. I think I was joking or telling you about this offline, yep, but just no problem with the demand. And come down here, real estate taxes of $1,235. Again, insurance, $300. Repairs and maintenance, $800. That's the HOA. And we come to this, and this was a 6.7 cap rate. And this is about what we're getting. So the two that I just showed you were the last two that we closed. What we like to do is not pick and choose. I don't want to show you the best or the worst. I want to show you what we're actually doing. Both of these we literally closed in the last 10 days. And this one is a 6.7 cap in a neighborhood we know well, HOA with over $1 million in reserves, plus over $10 million in capital expenditures. They're going to be fixing a whole bunch of roads and this and that within the complex. Solid property, you know, not a home run. This is a solid single, decent cash flow. And that concludes our explanation of what we saw as relatively typical in Pueblo versus Colorado Springs versus Denver for our types of clients.
So if you guys have any questions, type them in here. We'll answer them, then wrap up. So we do have a question here from Chris Charles. He says, insurance, only $300.
Yeah, I own seven properties like this, and my insurances are $275 to $315. The reason is that you don't even have to really have insurance. I think the lender doesn't require it because it's just like inside insurance. To be honest, don't quote me on that. But a typical $250,000 home will be maybe $1,000, $1,100 for insurance because they're insuring the whole thing. In a condo, you know, I mean, it's not like I have anything special on insurance. They're about $300 is what we found. Yep.
Yeah. So for the attached properties, insurance is what you said, you should be right on $300 is a good rule of thumb.
Yep.
The detached properties are more, and that's, hey, HOAs, pros and cons.
Exactly.
A pro to it, or depending on how you look at it, part of your HOA fees are paying for the master insurance policy on there. Yeah, so the HOA is covering the exterior on this property.
Yep.
So another question here, what is the property management cost you use?
Okay, so I like to do everything apples to apples. So I don't put property management in because most of my investors and me don't use property managers. And the problem with putting property management in is people will negotiate different terms. So I always do without property management when I'm comparing properties, just to take that variable out. If you were going to do property management, let's do the numbers. We do the numbers, 1888 times 0.08 times 12.
Oh, all right. I'm going to have coffee for this.
Yeah, I think that's what it would be. 1812. Yeah. So if you got a property manager at 12%, you would add $1,812 here, and that would bring your cap rate down to a 6. So if you are an investor, then you should do what's right for you and absolutely put this in. And then, of course, always do apples to apples and do the same percentage, because most of our folks don't manage their own properties. I don't put it in so that they know what a 6.7 equals. In this case, a 6.7 would be a 6.0 if you actually had a property manager. And of course, there's many pros and cons with a property manager.
And Sam, share with us. Sam is the investor who bought the house right after it was set on fire for like $8,000, rehabbed it. He said it was at a 9.2 cap. And he said, oh, wow, in that case, to keep things apples to apples, his Pueblo cap rate, taking out property management, would be over 10% cap. So that way.
Really good. That's exactly what you do. So he's over 10%. So go find a fire sale for $8,000, put $70,000 into it in Pueblo. Sam, I hope you can do another one, but I don't want to read about you in the newspaper about an arsonist. So,
another question from Chris. The condo in Denver was $250,000. What was the condition of it and how much rehab was needed?
Yeah, so zero. The condition was really good. I mean, just about nothing. I put nothing here because it's just ready to go. Initial repair costs were this. And you can look on, go on Zillow. I mean, you have the address. 17689 East Loyola Drive, Unit D. Really nice. Yeah, these are good.
Great. We'll keep the questions coming in as we wrap up. And so we will hopefully do more of these local market comparisons. I know Charles is potentially working with ICOR, the investment club here in Colorado, about doing some tours down at Colorado Springs, doing a tour out to Fort Morgan, maybe some other markets that are, you know, within a relatively easy drive of Denver. And as we get more data or go on these tours, we are going to put on our reporter cap, come back, run some numbers, and keep you guys up to date. Personally, even before, you know, I was never really looking at Pueblo or Colorado Springs to invest in. I know for my personality fit, either invest where I know the area and, you know, just can drive to a property relatively easy for when something goes wrong. Plus, I have a network out here. But I do enjoy learning about it because, hey, you never know in 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or something changes for me. So we'll definitely keep reporting on here. And if you guys, and Charles, you can correct me on here. If anyone's out there is saw the Pueblo number, loves it, reach out to us. We can put you in touch with a great realtor down there to find Pueblo, right? You're not.
Yeah, I do Colorado Springs stuff, so I'm happy. I'm actually going down there next week. But like I said, if Pueblo had the 10 caps that I didn't have to burn a house down for, I'd go down in the RV on a Sunday night and have a really nice Monday in Pueblo. But at the moment, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. So if you want to explore Pueblo, reach out to us. We'll hook you up with someone. If you want to explore Colorado Springs, and of course, if you want to explore Denver, reach out to us. Those are territories or markets that we do look at. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for attending this webinar and listening to the recording as a podcast. If you guys have future questions, please reach out to us via email or a phone call, and always give us feedback. If there's specific things you'd like to know as well, we take that feedback and try to make our next webinar, our next class, our next podcast even better. So thank you, everyone.